Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, it's been difficult to see everything going on, you know, in our city and in our state. Your heart goes out to their families and their loved ones, because it's, you know, it's just deaths that shouldn't have happened. You know, that's been part of me wanting to, you know, speak out and help out in ways that I can.
Matt Ryan talking out about social issues he's been leading on from the jump here. He hasn't had to kind of amend any comments or, you know, do anything. He's just been leading. And Matt Ryan, very well spoken, a guy that has been, you know, out there out front for the Atlanta Falcons. And he's on the list, but he's not really super high on this list that the Big Lead did. The Big Lead decided, welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh, to do a list of the current 32 quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks in the NFL, and take a kind of stab at who would be, Hugh, the best broadcaster, a la Tony Romo, in their next career. We all understand that Romo has kind of set a new high bar for modern broadcasters from former players. Turns out he's a far better broadcaster than he was a quarterback, and I don't mean that as a slam. He was, you know, he was a decent quarterback. But he happens to be tremendous.
He found his niche, and people like it. He's somewhat of a sage when it comes to calling games.
And you know, we all understand that Peyton Manning would have made a tremendous broadcaster. I think they offered him something like $1 million a game to do Monday for $1 million a game to do Monday Night Football, and he said, "Nah, yeah." Must be, boy, the people that could just do that, Hugh. Yeah, no.
Well, I mean, it all depends on, you know, he's went, like, Peyton Manning, number one, is he's one of those guys, he can write his ticket to do whatever it is he wants to do. So he probably has some other things in the works that he's working on. And then maybe, John, just maybe, he's not as good as analyst, a good of an analyst that we think he is. Maybe that's just because we look at his quarterback skills and assume that that's the case. And Peyton kind of knows, you know, his limitations. That could be the case too.
He said originally, and that may be true, that he turned it down originally because his brother was still playing in the league. He didn't want to be critical of his brother. He knows too many guys in the league. He doesn't want to be critical of them. And so if you're not willing to go there, then you're right, Hugh. He may not be any good as an analyst, because you have to be able to be, you know, you're going to have to criticize guys and take the slings and arrows. Because some guys are not, you know, you're an analyst and guys are not going to be happy with you. If you say something about them, you're going to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, I know that firsthand. My first couple years in broadcasting, I did it in Philadelphia. And, you know, and I used to go to the locker room. And sometimes, I remember one time, Darwin Walker played for Tennessee. Darwin Walker, I said something about D-Walk. He didn't make a play or something. And it was in jest. But Darwin Walker, like, I come in the locker room, he snatched me up. I'm like, hold up, dog. And I'm like, big fella, back up off me. Yeah. But, some people take it in jest, and some people get real upset about it, you know, when you criticize them or critique their game. So it's one of those things where, you know, if you're not willing to go there, you're not going to be a good broadcaster.
And Ryan was kind of middle of the pack of this Big Lead list here, and the number one person was Drew Brees. Now, Drew's a very well-spoken guy. He's a smart guy. He sounds like he'd be a good analyst, but there's a lot that goes in to being an analyst, not the least of which what we just touched on. You've got to be willing to go there. You can't be afraid. You have to be, you know, confident in your opinions and your ability to understand that, you know, you're going to get called out by your peers if you dare criticize them, or they're going to look at you, at the very least, they're going to look at you sideways. But you also have to be somewhat well-liked by the public. And at the moment, and things can change, but at the moment, the reason I don't think Drew Brees is number one is nobody likes him. I mean, who likes Drew Brees? Nobody.
I guess. I don't know. I haven't taken the pulse of the world, but yeah, he didn't do himself any favors the last couple of weeks. He didn't do that. He definitely did not do that. He didn't do himself any favors.
They say Breeze is number one. And again, I have no doubt that from a technical standpoint that he'd be very good. But again, you got to be liked. And at the moment, Drew Breeze is not liked by anybody. I mean, not liked by the people that don't think that he, you know, that they think is, you know, his apologies, plural, were false, sort of like Gundy's apologies, and you know, that they just weren't heartfelt. And when you do that, you know, then you don't appease it. When you stand, as they always say, when you stand in the middle of the road, you get run over. And Drew tried to jump right into the middle of the road, and he's getting run over. Phillip Rivers, Ryan Fitzpatrick were the top three, and Gardner Minshew at number four because he's such an absurd character. But see, that's just it, Hugh. Sometimes you say Gardner Minshew, why would he? You know, but it's a guy like Gardner Minshew who becomes a TV star.
Well, it's because I think that you got to be charismatic, to do it, and you can't be overly sensitive to what people feel about you or think about you, because you know there's going to be initially people that don't like you, you know. But this is the thing, especially about being in the business that we're in, John. I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure like people are not going to like, everybody's not going to like you. You're not going to be everybody's cup of tea. But as long as they're paying attention and tuning in, I think that's a big thing, you know, especially when you're talking about like certain types of television. And I think that some people want to have a great mix of entertainment and knowledge when a knowledgeable person when it comes to somebody doing games, you know.
I totally agree. Remainder of the top 10, I'm just going to list them. I'm going to tell you a couple that I think would be horrible at it, and I don't know why they're in the top 10, and a couple I think would be really good. The remainder of the top 10, this is just my kind of take on things. Russell Wilson at 5, Tom Brady, Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers, Pat Mahomes, and Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that Russell Wilson would be very good at this.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I think that, I mean, what has Russell Wilson said that makes you think that he would be
a great analyst? No, I just think he's personable. I think, you know, again,
okay,
part of
it
is personality.
What has he done to make you feel like he's personable?
All right, so that's fair enough. Let me step back and say that I think that I would be interested to hear him do it, because my sense is with his personality and whatnot, I think he'd be good at it. I actually think Aaron Rodgers would be good at it too, because you know Aaron's got that type of personality. I mean, you see his commercials, like, you know, guys, if you can relay through commercials a sense of personality, you know, for on different levels. And Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers are different people, obviously. You know, but I think that they both, you know, are, they strike me as being the kind of guys that might be pretty good at this should they want to do it. Tom Brady at number 6. I think Tom Brady would be awful beyond words. He has the charisma of toast, okay?
Out of all the guys you just mentioned, John, I give Tom Brady the nod before I give any of those other guys a nod. What has Aaron Rodgers done to make you think he's personable? Aaron Rodgers is kind of dry. Like, you know, he's really dry. Out of the guys that you mentioned out of that group, Gardner Minshew seems like he would be the one that would have the most fun.
Right. I agree.
You know what? This is the thing. When it comes to quarterbacks, you got to be able to, like, have you ever seen those guys you mentioned step outside themselves at any point ever? Aaron Rodgers. I don't recall that. I'm not his teammate, but I'm just saying on the surface, never seen Aaron Rodgers get outside himself too much. Never seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady? I think Tom Brady would be okay. It all depends on Tom Brady. Look like he can work for NBC. NBC's a little bit different. They're cut from a little bit different cloth.
That's fair. They are a little
bit
more. You see
what I'm saying? They're a little bit more. They're more straight laced.
Straight laced.
Yeah, NBC is a little different. So he could definitely do that. He could definitely work at NBC.
ESPN.
I can see Tom Brady doing the ESPN thing.
Put me to sleep. I can bang my head on the table. I mean, come on, say something. You know, Aaron Rodgers. Like for example, it goes on. It goes. Kirk Cousins 11. I'm not going to go through all 32. Matt Ryan comes in at 12. By the way, Baker Mayfield at 13, and then they get to Ben Roethlisberger at 14. And I go, Ben Roethlisberger. Now either Ben Roethlisberger is an interesting guy. Either he's going to be great at it, or he's just going to come across as just angry. You know, I mean, he could either be great or he could be just kind of angry. That would be the only thing about Rodgers is you can't be angry all the time, you know.
Rodgers ain't angry, he's just dry. Like, Aaron Rodgers. Okay, you remember a couple years ago at the Milwaukee game, his lineman was beer chugging.
Right.
And Aaron, you know, it's a moment. He's not playing. He's chilling. And Aaron wouldn't drink the beer. I mean, you know, that's his personal preference. He had a beer, but he couldn't play along. So, Aaron, it would be tough for Aaron to get outside his comfort zone. That's all I'm saying. It would be definitely tough for him to get outside his comfort
zone. And maybe Brady surprises me. Maybe he gets outside his comfort zone. But if you watch the match, I mean, he was okay. I mean, but he had to be goaded into saying things. You can't be goaded into saying things. You just got to have, you know, the ability to do it. I'll give you a couple of modern examples here of guys that are actually doing it. Keyshawn Johnson, who's always been, you know, a larger-than-life individual anyway, ESPN is now saying that they believe, Hugh, that Keyshawn Johnson is about to become if not the big star on ESPN. They think he is ticketed for major broadcasting stardom.
I find that interesting, seeing that most of the time, like, you know, he was kind of getting phased out a little bit, but now they're bringing him back. Because mm-hmm. you didn't see Keyshawn as much as you did, especially when he was on Sunday Morning Countdown or whatever it was. Him and Chris Carter, they just started. I thought they were starting to phase him out a little bit, but that might, you know, hey, more power to Keyshawn. I hope that is a case for him.
There's still a talk about Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit doing Monday Night Football. I really hope that does not happen for a couple of reasons. One, because they are a really great college football team. And Herbie, this is maybe a bit of – look, Kirk Herbstreit never played in the NFL, Hugh. And I think that job requires somebody with NFL experience. I just do because it's a different game.
You know what? I hate to be – you know what's funny? And I try not to be this guy. I try not to be, you know, the football snob and say – because, you know, I was blessed to play in the NFL and be that guy to look at people and kind of poo-poo what they do. But I can kind of see where you're going with this because Kirk doesn't know what it's like to play on Sunday. Good, hell of a college quarterback, hell of an analyst. But I think that if you're good for the job, you're good for the job.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And if they picked him to do Monday Night Football, I think that Kirk Herbstreit would make it very interesting. And Chris Fowler, for that matter.
You know, and I think you know, why mess up a good thing here? I mean, I really think that they do well.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Because who you gonna put at? Who you gonna put on college? Like right. That's the thing. Who you gonna put on college football?
You know, I mean, when you think about the best people, I mean, there's different kind of analysts. I mean, there are different grades in analysts, right? I mean, Charles Barkley, not an analyst. Charles Barkley is an entertainer, but he's the best at it. I mean, because Charles has no filter.
He's a like Orange just said. He's more of a personality.
Right, but he has no filter. He's great at it.
Yeah, I mean, and he shoots it straight. To me, that's the same vein that Kendrick Perkins is in. That's the lane that he's working right now. You know, and people need to realize that. Kendrick Perkins played in the league, and he's going to shoot you straight. I think especially nowadays, John, people like, whether they like you personally or not, they want to be told the truth, whether it hurt, it makes them mad or not. Some people want to be told the truth. And when I see Kendrick Perkins, that's who I see. I see somebody that's a truth teller.
All right, this goes to our station, too. I mean, you and Randy Mack, former NFL players, who shoot it straight, tell the truth, have fun, have an interesting personality. It's why you do what you do. I mean, and just because you used to play in the league doesn't mean you could do it. I've had a lot of players that I've worked with, you know, football and baseball players, who weren't very good at doing the whole radio thing because they don't have whatever that intangible thing is that you have, Hugh, or that Randy has.
You know what's funny? I was listening to Andy and Randy yesterday. Shout out to Andy and Randy. And they were talking about something like this. And Randy, you know, throwing his hat into being an analyst. I think and I think Randy, if you're listening, you sold yourself short, brother, because I've done a little bit of everything, and you definitely could do that because you definitely have the chops to break it down. So I think you could definitely do that. If you wanted to do it, Randy, you could definitely do it. There's no question, there's no doubt in my mind that you could do it, because that's something, me personally, I wouldn't want to do that, because that's, to me, that's boring. But he's technical enough, and he could, like when he did the Corky Kale, and he was talking about the game. As a matter of fact, he did the Celebration Bowl when he was talking about the game. Like, that's why I like listening to Wes and Dave, because they bring you into the game, and they make you feel like you're there watching it because of the way they frame it and set it up. So you could definitely do that, Randy. You definitely could do that.
Yeah, Dave Archer is a great football analyst. I think he's actually great. And I love Wes. We're lucky. We have a great team. Are you scared of the Dallas Cowboys? this season? Well, at least three NFL coaches are scared of the Cowboys right now. We'll tell you why next. John and Hugh on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92 on the Game after a CBS Sports Minute. Morning Show with John and Hugh, National Football League. We have sort of kind of firm date here. The third week in July is going to be a lot of fun if you're a sports fan. We're going to get on July the 12th, Atlanta United playing its first game. The next day on July 13th, college football camps can open on the 15th. Georgia's going to open its camp. Also in that week, NFL camps will open and baseball will begin. So all of that's going to happen between like the 12th and 21st of July in about a 9 or 10 day period. We're going to have all those things take place. As for the NFL, we have a question this morning on our morning menu that we'll get to in just a moment about that Abe put out there. A good question about which guy will sign first with an NFL team, Cam Newton or Colin Kaepernick. First of all, the Cowboys. Hugh, there are at least three NFL coaches that are now saying we have to delay things for the NFL because of this the coronavirus outbreak that happened on the Dallas Cowboys, and it's giving them a little bit of pause about starting training camp.
They got the Rona. They're talking about the Cowboys got the Rona.
Yep.
I don't think that's going to happen, John. You know, I think that, you know, the concerns of whomever these teams are, they'll be noted, but we're moving ahead with having training camp in July. I think that's going to be the case. We're moving ahead with that, so. You know, you just got to get over that.
You know, and it's going to be about how we handle, how sports handle, you know, certain things like the outbreak. The Texans are having one. Cowboys are having one. There's, you know, in the state of Texas at the moment, you know, partly due to reopening and all the other things that are going on. And so right now, I mean, there's just, we have to deal with these as we go through them. I think there's an assumption, and this is what I want to be careful of, that somehow if you get the coronavirus that, you know, that this is, you know, a death sentence or something. It's not, obviously. I mean, it's not that. It's an illness. And so as a result, you quarantine people, and virtually all of them are going to be fine eventually, you would think, given the numbers and the stats. So it's just a matter of kind of getting through it. And how it affects teams, though, is going to be noted to you. I mean, teams have had to deal with this. And again, I want to be very careful about this because I don't want people to think, you're equating it to the flu. I'm just saying the teams have had to deal with flu outbreaks because I keep going back to that whole thing about how the New England Patriots had to take two airplanes, one with guys that didn't have the flu and the other guys that did have the flu, down to a game, I believe, in New Orleans a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And so they had to isolate in the hotel on different floors the guys that didn't. And all that goes to prove is that the NFL is going to have protocols in place, and as every league does, and how you deal with this when you go to camp. If a guy does test positive, a player tests positive, then he's going to probably have to leave camp for a couple of weeks. And if he does, you know, how does that disrupt your timing? How does it disrupt the player? All those things that these coaches are going to have to deal with at some point.
All of that, John, in the bag of chips. Listen, for the NFL, like Rich McKay, he didn't come out and say it. I mean, because you can't, but they've looked at every contingency for all of this. Why do you think one of the reasons why, you know, you're hearing in the update from Caleb Johnson that the NFL is starting thinking about expanding their roster to like the 16 practice squad players or something like that? Because they know that you're going to have more numbers on the team and more bodies, because there is potential for guys to catch the coronavirus. I mean, it's just basically, it makes sense. Listen, you don't have what they call the doomsday preppers or things like that, and you don't think about every possible angle of this thing. I mean, that's just kind of how it works. So that's why I'm of the mindset that the NFL has already thought about, okay, what happens when this, that, and the third happens? They're not going to shut the season down. They got to keep going because they know that people are going to get sick. You'd be foolish to think that nobody's going to get sick or we're just going to go through a whole football season and nobody's going to get the coronavirus. You know, it's going to happen.
Of course it's going to happen. Yeah, you almost treat it like a two-week injury. I mean, basically, you know.
It all depends. From what we've told, it's 2 weeks. But still, man, mm-hmm. Listen, you don't know. You don't know how it's going to affect. It affects everybody differently, you know. And
right.
Then you're talking about – I don't know if I haven't had it, but I don't know if part of this the recovery is you lose a little bit of, you know, muscle mass. You might have that. You might not be able to work out like you normally would with the coronavirus, you know. So it all depends on how the virus attacks your body.
Right. It depends. And it's going to be interesting, too, because Zeke Elliott kind of brought up an interesting point when he said HIPAA, you know, is, you know, the NFL, how do you deal with this? Because normally, you know, your medical records are sealed. Nobody can get them, except in the NFL, where they have to announce your injury. And sometimes they do in certain sports. You'll hear like things like lower body injury. You know, I mean, it's just it's vague. You know, in the NFL, you've got to sit on an injury list. And how do you list? In the past, if a player had been missing practice, you would say missed practice illness. We've seen this. Do they continue to do that, or do they just say, you know, do they? I don't know. That's a good question. How they deal with it. Another good question is up right now on our Twitter at 929 The Game. Abe Gordon, the producer with the morning menu. We want you to jump into the debate. Not necessarily. I mean, you want to jump in about your favorite flavor of he said boneless wings or wings, whatever you want to call them, or who the Braves DH ought to be. It's question number two. Who signs with the team first, Colin Kaepernick or Cam Newton? You and I both said Cam. Abe said Cap. Hugh, I want to go a little bit deeper into this because I know that the Chargers have offered him a chance to be on the workout list for the LA Chargers, and that there are more teams that are seriously interested in potentially signing Cap as a, air quotes, backup. You know, we can't know what he wants to do, but I kind of think that if Cap comes out and says he wants to be a starter and all he's getting is backup offers, that might be a little bit problematic.
Listen, man, I think that if you really want to play, and see, that's another thing. We don't know if Cap really wants to play.
Right.
John, you have to be realistic about the situation. It ain't no man. Mike Tyson ain't about to come out of retirement and say, I want to be the champ, and they give him the belt. I mean, that's not going to happen. You gotta work your way back into the game. You've been off for 4 years. Let's be real about this. You're not just about to come back and say, oh, I'm going to be the leader of a team. Nah. That's not going to happen. So if you come back now and you think you're a starter, I know you're in a position where a lot has been taken away from you. You're right, and it has. But you still have to work to get that back. Somebody's been out there busting their hump for the last 4 years that you've been off being an activist. And I say that with all due respect, that you can't just come back and think that you're just going to, because of who you were when you left, and when you left, it wasn't like you were doing great when you left, that you're going to come back and be a starter in the NFL. That's something you have to work towards. That's anything in life. That's anything in life. If you're the CEO of a company, and you leave for a couple of years because you got to go fire yourself. No, that might be a bad analogy. Let me pull that one back. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. In certain mm-hmm. things in life, you know,
right.
You can't just go back to the status that you had once before. You got to work your way back towards that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I you know, he's going to get looks. I got to stop myself. I said he's going to get looks, but he may not want looks. I mean, you know, he had an opportunity here in Atlanta to work out for a number of NFL teams, and of course he punted on Flowery Branch, and we had those guys that were assigned by the league, you know, take off in anger. He ends up going down to Grady and working out by himself down there. And that was a leading indicator for some people that he's not really serious about being back in the league. And since he doesn't talk to you, we can't know. And so we're left to speculate as to whether or not what he wants. Because the one thing about Colin Kaepernick that is true, regardless of everything else, is he doesn't talk. So we don't know what he wants.
I mean, it's one of those things where he's silent at certain times where you want to know what's going on. I mean, and that's probably by design. But as far as the workout, John, that thing was kind of fishy all the way around. You know, I mean, let's just call it what it is. The time
it was thrown together, it was weird.
Like all of that. It was a little fishy. It was a little fishy.
Yeah, it was strange. It was odd. The whole thing was bizarre.
Fishy.
Pick six next. Abe's got his list. He's already talked one thing about food today. And he's got a list of international foods. What's your favorite cuisine in the world? We'll find out what Abe's list is next on Sports Radio 92 on The Game and worldwide at radio.com. Team. And Abe is joining us this morning. It's his turn for a pick six. And whatever your international cuisine tastes are, I can never pick you. I have two that I love.
This is going to be hard. This is going to be hard.
I'm stuck between. They are absolute stone cold tie. My wife and I have had this discussion before. What's your favorite international cuisine? I can never pick because I love both of them so much. It's like picking between your kids or something. Or maybe it's not that serious. Abe, you get the honors this morning.
I have my list of six favorite international foods, international cuisines. Just if there are any basic questions, this is by country. I'm not getting too overly specific of a type of food. It's the broad category by country. Cool. So, Hugh Douglas, if you want to go ahead and start us off guessing, go for it.
I'm going to say Italian.
Italian is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on the list. It is one of my six. I had to find it here on the list. But, Italian food is on the list. Now, obviously, there's a difference between Italian food and, like, American Italian food. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these have been kind of Americanized in some way. But Italian food, definitely on the list.
Yeah, I unfortunately once went to a little town along the Amalfi Coast there and had a tremendous dinner in Italy. And it forever changed my opinion of Italian food because Italian food in Italy is, as Abe mentioned, a little bit different than it is here in the United States, and it is so bloody good. I think it's the greatest cuisine in the world, and that's why I have a hard time, you know, picking between that and my second choice. 1 and 1A for me are Italian. These are just mine. I know not yours, Abe. We're talking about you. But between Italian and Mexican, I have a hard time, and I love Mexican food.
Taco Thursday, John. It's is that what it could be?
It could be it's taco.
Mexican food.
It's gonna be Taco Sunday for me this Sunday on Father's Day.
That's what I'm saying. You don't have to wait for Tuesday. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Sunday.
Tacos, along with all Mexican food, are on here. And John, I know you lived in San Diego. Hugh, I don't know your experience with American Mexican food versus, a real Mexican spot. But either way, you really can't go wrong with the combination they serve. So Mexican food is on the list along with the
Yeah, we're having a little trouble with Abe's microphone there this morning.
But as far I would think that this would count or maybe not. So excuse me for my ignorance. I had Mexican food in Texas, Houston, Texas one time. And it was at a Mexican spot where they even had the cowboys.
The mariachis?
The mariachis. They had a mariachi band. And it was pretty cool, man. And I was in Houston, and that was pretty good. So I don't know if that counts. And like I said, excuse me for my ignorance if it doesn't, because it was at a Mexican spot. But, I've had – that was banging. It was banging.
Are you back with us, Abe?
I am. You guys are 3 for 3. Mexican, Italian – or 2 for 2. Sorry, Mexican and Italian. I almost gave one to y'all, but you haven't guessed it yet. So you're 2 for 2, Hugh. You got guest number 3.
I'm gonna say Asian, and I'm gonna throw in all the Asian cuisines, Vietnamese, Cantonese.
I'm gonna need you to be more specific, Hugh.
Wow.
Yeah, because there are a lot of different. There's a huge gulf of difference between the Asian
Chinese.
Cuisines.
You picked the right country. While I do love Korean barbecue, there are other types of Korean food that aren't really my thing. But Chinese food, again, made differently in America than in China, but you got to deal with what you have. Big fan of Chinese food.
Yeah, it's so interesting because I thought it might be on your list. And again, this is your list, Abe, and you're one doing the pick six. It's not on my list of six. I like Chinese food, but when I had to come up with six, because
I would guess more of your spiciness, you probably like maybe Thai food more.
Well, I do like Thai food, but actually my number one Asian food, and I want to see if it's on your list, my number one Asian food is Vietnamese.
Yeah, I figured you were going to go Thai or Vietnamese. Not on my list, but understandably so. I only went with the one Asian country, but yeah.
No, and I understand
so
that.
Vietnamese,
just once I discovered Vietnamese in Southern California when I was out there, with all the lemongrass and the pho and everything else, I was like, okay, this is my stuff. And there were a couple of restaurants that I would go to quite often. So, if you've never had Vietnamese, you've had and you like Chinese, by the way, or you like Thai, I'm going to suggest that maybe you consider it. All right, Hugh, you're up.
So we guessed.
You've gotten the three I thought you'd get. The other one, these other ones are going to be tough. Did not go Indian food. Not a huge fan of curry. Some of the colors get too weird. It doesn't look like food. I don't trust it.
So you only have one Asian country. So because Japanese is my other favorite Asian. So, you know, that's not on your list, correct?
Correct. It's not on my list.
Because I am a sushi kind of guy.
I don't do sushi. Yeah, if I like sushi, yeah, I would, but sushi's not on there.
Yeah, so anyway. All right, so
let me tell you this. We've ruled out Asia. There's no other North American countries.
Right.
I have three countries from three different continents still on my list.
Okay. I'm gonna go off my list and think about your list, and I'm gonna pick something kind of little over here. I'm gonna say Greek
food is on the list, John Fricke. That is a great call, and a lot of that is gonna be based on the pastries and some of the desserts that you can get. A lot of that Mediterranean, Middle Eastern flavoring type of food I really enjoy, and so I did go with Greek. That's a good guess.
I'm gonna say French. I'm gonna go with French for 1,000.
No, France. That was the remember we had three countries, three different continents. So once you guess Greek, you rule out the rest of Europe.
Okay, gotcha.
French food's too fancy for me, Hugh. Like
I was thinking
it's
that,
too much
that
art. Too much art there going on.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of French food. I like bouillabaisse. Most of the French food is so heavy that, you know, when I was in France, it was like, okay, back off the sauces a little bit. I mean, I know you're good at it, but...
Not like a French Creole, Cajun type of food,
really that's
like.
Different.
But
that's different.
That's a little different.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite fusions. The current fusion, by the way, one of the current fusions in California, we're getting a little taste of it in Atlanta, but it's big in California, is Mexican and Asian fusion. And, boy, that is a wonderful fusion. I mean, jalapeno into... Asian food and some of the Mexican flavors, cilantro into Asian food is really becoming a thing now. And boy, those two cultures are really melding into its own cuisine that is really tasty. It's kind of a new thing. I'm going to go way south of the border, and I'm going to go to Brazil and say that you're a big fan of Brazilian food.
Wow, John Fricke is nailing my list today, Hugh. Brazil, obviously we know a lot of meat. A lot of meat being eaten in Brazil, and I like various cuts of beef and pork and steak and deer and all sorts of stuff. So, Brazil has made the list. So we have Mexican, Chinese, Brazilian food, Italian food, and Greek food. There is one country, guys, and I'll tell you, it's in Africa.
Ethiopia.
Hugh, have you ever had Ethiopian food?
I'm trying to remember. I think, isn't that what it's most of it's like tomato-based? It's like you dipped it. Yeah, you eat the bread. It's like the bread, and you dip it in the tomato-based sauces and stuff. Is that it?
Yeah, the injera. I believe it's pronounced injera. It's like Ethiopian flatbread. It's kind of spongy, and a lot of, a little taste of the Mediterranean in there with some cheese and hummus. And that sort of stuff, and some meat and some rice and stuff. But Ethiopian food. I had that a lot when I lived in D.C. In Washington, D.C., Ethiopian food was pretty big. So,
wait a minute,
isn't
there an Ethiopian place?
Worldwide...
It's an Ethiopian place, if I'm not mistaken, by Twin Peaks. I might be wrong. Let me go ahead and just be quiet. But I think.
If I go out that way, I just go to Twin Peaks.
Yeah, it's like right across the street from Twin Peaks. I think.
I like Twin Peaks. That's my list. Mexican, Ethiopian food, Chinese food, Brazilian food, Italian food, and Greek food. Really spanning the globe with my taste buds.
Yeah, you got a lot going on. That's a lot on your stomach. You got that rock gut.
My number three didn't make the list. For those of you who never had Spanish, if you like Italian and you like Mexican, which I do. What do you get when you combine them? Spanish. So that's my big thing. Anyway, but it's Abe's list, and it's going to be up at our Twitter @929TheGame. his list of international foods, and you can weigh in with your favorite cuisines as well. Always kind of fun to do. In the next hour, Jason Longshore live to tell us about the start of EPL and Major League Soccer. Chad Millman to tell us the odds. You know, who does he favor now if baseball is back to win this unusual World Series? And a little bit of rapid fire, some of the questions to the team. All ahead in the 8 o'clock hour. Going to be busy on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and worldwide at radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.